I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, third hour, TK and Tierney live from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Monday around the country. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206, the day Tiger return to the winner's circle. He was flirting a lot last year. You know, talked about this in the first hour. Valspar, where he tied for second. He had a nice run at Arnie's event where he tied for fifth. Quicken Loans, he did pretty well. He was tied for fourth. The Open Championship, which he lost to Molinari. Got a little revenge yesterday. Tied for sixth there. The PGA Championship, when St. Louis was on fire, it felt like a rugby match or a rowdy soccer match.
Yeah.
And Koepka was able to win. He finished second there. The BMW tied for sixth, and he won the Tour Championship, where a Nike commercial was created as throngs of people, 20,000 people, followed him up the fairway, which is something that nobody ever thought we'd see again. No. Just a magical day in sports.
Yeah, it was a magical day. He finished 13 under. He missed a par putt on 18, but he knew he didn't have to make it, so he didn't have to be overly aggressive. The thing
he missed the birdie putt.
I mean, no, he missed the par putt.
No, he got
on 18.
He
missed the par putt because Brooks Koepka, you talk about Molinari sticking it in the drink on 12. That really wasn't when he won. You didn't know he won until Brooks missed the birdie putt. Brooks missed the birdie putt on 18.
On 18.
Which gave him two shots clearance. So all he had to do was make bogey.
He was so short on the second shot. And then he smartly used a little ridge. Let me throw a little dart off this back ridge, funnel it down to putt.
I don't got
to
be a
bogey and walk out.
I don't got to be a hero.
Yeah.
Right.
But it would have been nice to train that.
It would have been. He almost did. Then he tapped in for par and something that a lot of people didn't think would happen ever. BT's been on this forever. Meaning that Tiger would win again. It happens, and it was awesome. And you know, it's a story that took precedence over the sports world for the last 20 hours or so. It's been
because
amazing.
It was a story that took years to write.
Yeah,
the rise, the crash, ascension, the flirtation with ascension. It's just riveting stuff. I want to examine this here because one thing that's been look at that exultation. Look at that image. Just look at how happy. By the way, he's pretty yoked still.
I know.
He's got the guns popping out there,
yeah.
Tiger.
He's much thinner than he used to be, but
yeah.
he's still very defined.
Yeah, this was like a tennis player's
exactly
body at
right.
this point.
43 years old, so he's not young by any means. Not that we're old, but 43 years old, and you're usually hitting the backside here. Maybe you can do it a couple of days, but to have four rounds with the level of consistency that he had. Wasn't all great, but it was consistent for
four
rounds.
Not an eagle the entire event, Teak.
I agree.
Not one eagle.
But a consistency at 43 years old, when it used to be that was the end of your career, he still feels like he's got maybe 5 or 6 years of good golf still ahead of him.
Yeah, and he's going to be smart. He said this a few times during the week that he played a little bit too much last year to put himself in a position to be on the list, to be able to play at the back end and have a chance to win the Tour Championship, which he did at East Lake. And, you know, I think the thing about Tiger, and it's funny because we've always, let me examine this. I wanted the word aura. Just think about that for a second. The word aura, all right, we all know what it means. You know, a loose definition. You know, we all know what aura is. Just this something that you can't quite quantify, that you know emits from somebody that usually is transformed into a positive.
Yeah.
That is like the sixth sense or it's in the toolbox, but it's not like a putter or a great iron player or a baseball player with great speed on the bases. The aura is you cannot calculate aura.
Yeah.
But you know what it's there, and more directly, you know what it's not.
Well, you feel it.
You feel it, and the other players feel it. And I want to examine this part of the comeback by Tiger, because we were very quick to say, a lot of people said, boy, that aura is gone. And even as somebody who staunchly believed he would win again, me, I really did believe the aura was gone.
Yeah, but it was.
But,
right?
Is it? And let me point out two things.
Go ahead.
Aura can manifest itself in a multitude of ways, but directly to Tiger, aura, I think pertaining to him, you were beat before you stepped on the tee box, mm-hmm. right? Will we all agree that that's fair?
Yes.
Okay. I think yesterday when Brooks misses that putt and when Molinari rinses it on 12, that is the aura creeping in that's less loud, that's less bombastic, and even less stifling.
Yeah.
But there's an element of aura that I believe is there that none of us thought would be there.
It's true.
It's just different.
It's true, but Brooks Koepka has made his hay at opens, at U.S. Opens. They vary. The venues are, you know, they're tough. You get into the rough and you're screwed. But he's a monster, even mm-hmm. though he's lost 20 pounds, supposedly, this year because he's for vanity reasons. But whatever.
I think Jen thinks he's good looking. Yeah. She hasn't seen a whole lot of Brooks Koepka. I'm like, all right, get this guy off my screen. But I'm Brooks like, Koepka, add him on the show, honey.
He wins the U.S. Opens because he can power through any trouble, right? Mm-hmm. It is mm-hmm. what it is. The Masters and Augusta
yep.
is some finesse. Now, I don't have an excuse for a Molinari, but you get to the Masters, and if you don't have the experience like Tiger does, he'd won it four previous times, including his first professional major back in 1997, you know the ins and outs. Right? You know the little things. And they talked about this so many times over the last day or so on 12, right? They have a back right pin placement for Sundays that just is staring you in the face. It's 148 yards, 150 yards, whatever it is away. It's I got this shot all day. I've been hitting this shot since I was 12 years old.
More
right?
like six for these guys, but
you know what
point
I mean.
Taken.
Right? I got this shot.
Yep. It's seemingly innocuous, simple.
There's nothing there in front of me except for water, but I'm trained myself. I don't see water. I look past the water, right? The smart shot and what Tiger did 4 days in a row was go right over the bunker. I'm placing it right over the bunker. I don't need birdie here. I need par.
Yep.
Once Molinari and Brooks Koepka and some others, once they started feeling...
And Finau, too.
And Finau, exactly, who was playing with them, who you start saying, man, I got to get some distance on Tiger because Tiger can't win if he's behind. He's never won a major when he's behind, so I gotta get some distance on it. You know what? Screw it. I'm going for the pin, mm-hmm. right? I'm gonna be bombastic. I'm gonna be a hero. I'm going for the pin. And what happens?
Swim.
I'm going swimming.
Yep.
And then and because Tiger played it smart, it's different than how we used to view Tiger. Mm-hmm. We used to view Tiger as this dude he's got the eye of the Tiger, man. He's cranking it up and hitting it 340, right? Or he's dialing it right on the pin. He's going to blot it back. He's going to sit 2 feet from the cup. Now he's like, all right, I'm just going to play smart,
mm-hmm.
right? The aura that you're talking about is there, but it's not.
The aura, the fact that people now know that he's healthy,
mm-hmm.
and you listen to everybody, what you know, whether it's the guys who were waiting for him when he walked off the green, when he was done hugging his family, you know, Bubba was there, and I saw Jordan Spieth, I saw Fowler, I saw his age. I mean, everybody was there.
Brooks was there, obviously, because he was in his group, right before his group.
It was an awesome scene. I think what they've all said is they're like, you know, we kind of saw this coming. We've seen him play, you know, four really good rounds and piece things together. And he was starting to dial in, you know, his numbers. And they're not surprised. So I think that now that they know that he can get through rounds unscathed physically, now they start to realize, oh boy, this sound that's beginning to permeate this beautiful piece of real estate, much like in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I haven't really heard this since I've been on tour. If you're old enough, now if you're Phil, you have.
You're right.
If you're a young gun like Jordan Spieth, or Rory heard it a little bit, but a guy like Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson as well, and those guys, you're like, this is a foreign sound.
Yeah.
And that can kind of infiltrate your mind, and can make you do things because you ordinarily wouldn't do. That's what I mean, that the aura is not fully dead.
Yeah, Augusta's tight, and there's no cell phones. You don't know what's going on other than you see the leaderboard change, or you hear a roar,
mm-hmm.
and you know that Tiger's behind you, or whatever it is, and you know, that sound's coming from behind me.
Oh, yeah.
And the only person they're cheering for like that is Tiger.
Oh, and they know the echoes, and as it reverberates, they know what hole it's coming from, and based on, because they have, this is how meticulous a pro golfer is, they know what player did that.
Yeah.
They know if it's a birdie roar or an eagle roar. It's such a special place. And I wanted to say this too. You know, And I understand. I understand. We talk so much about Tiger Woods' dad, Earl, and how we first put the club in his hands at the age of two and willed him to this, to be this competitor that almost soldier-like, almost not human, like from a conveyor belt that is emotionless. I was really happy for Tiger Woods' mom. I was really happy for Tiger Woods' mom to see that. And, yeah, the imagery is poignant. You know, we see him when he, and CBS, this is, I mean, if I worked for Fox, I'd be on bended knee lauding CBS. It was incredible how they piece this together. And look at how tight his son, when you see his son is squeezing his dad's shirt.
Yeah.
It's incredible, the images from 97 to now. But Tiger's mom, I remember when he went up there, and I thought it was so ill-conceived, when he went up there and he talked about a sex addiction.
Yeah.
And he was in like a suit.
It
was horrendous.
Yeah.
And it was unnecessary.
He sounded bad. He looked bad.
It was stupid. It was forced. It was contrived. It was weak. Nobody bought it, right? Because I don't think we thought Tiger changed. And I think we do think that he's changed now, which is a part of society that I think is awesome. When, you know, a lot of people are quick to kick you down, but you do see that there are a lot of us that are quick to help reach for a hand and pull you back up. But it's his mom. It's his mom. And his mom, and you're a parent. And again, these things hit me differently maybe than they would have 4 or 5 years ago. I get it. I have two little ones now. Teek, you've been a dad for a long time. How could you not look at Tiger Woods' mom? Yeah, you think of Earl because Earl's the one who got him here as a golfer. But Tiger Woods' mom, I think she tapped into his softness.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because Earl did not allow him to do that.
No, because he needed to be a killer. He needed to be
rip
your competitor's heart out, right? If you can win by 5, win by 10.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Callous.
Don't ever take it easy.
Calculated.
Don't ever concede
Cunning.
A shot. Don't do anything.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting too, BT, because when they showed a bunch of the old footage of Earl and his mother when Tiger was younger, both in 97, way before 97, but even starting specifically at 97 when he became pro. And she was always there, but always kind of like
a little subservient.
Yeah.
A little subservient when it came to golf, for sure.
Like in the shadows, so to speak. She's always there, but always in the shadow. And now, I think more than anything, despite that ill-conceived press conference, the one thing that they were trying to do, whatever PR agency conceived that, you got to have mom there.
You have to.
You have to.
Yeah.
And it came off wrong, but it was the start, I think, of his mom being more of an influence in his life, personal life, not public life.
Well, talking about the beads that he wears and what they mean.
His public life, so to speak, because she wasn't ever part of the public persona.
No,
it was Earl and Tiger,
and Earl wandered outside of the bedroom as well.
I agree. It was
so
Earl
his son.
And Tiger,
uh-huh.
And then the one great thing about his mom was that once she became more public, he became more responsible. And it shapes who he is now, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
So you're right. So when I saw him hugging his mom, who was there with his son, for some reason I thought he had more than two kids. With his son and his older daughter now.
Yeah.
It was a great scene.
And let's be honest, we were all curious, what kind of smooch he was going to lay on his girlfriend. Was he going for the weak one? It's a big public moment for Tiger Woods.
It's a big public moment for her.
Is he going to ignore her? I mean, some of these golfers, ignore their girls, which is ridiculous, But he gave her, he took care of business there as well. I think that, for somebody, especially when you see the old footage, the skinny, probably 110-pound Tiger Woods with the bucket cap and playing public courses.
Yeah.
For Tiger, and we know this, but it's punctuated with the win yesterday, the return to prominence. For Tiger Woods, who combines so many ethnicities and has galvanized so many different legions of people, non-affluent people.
Yeah, because golf used to be a very affluent
We know
sport.
What it was.
Yeah.
It's why none of us wanted to really be in it.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to permeate a sport where, quite frankly, they didn't want him at the golf course. They didn't want him.
It's true.
What was the Fuzzy Zeller, years ago, and he was known as a jokester, and I know it was a different time, not that it makes it acceptable, but when he was asked, he probably had a couple scotches in him, he's walking out, he said, hey, what's Tiger going to serve? A reporter asked him, what's Tiger going to serve up at the Masters dinner? And he said, collard greens and fried chicken, I think was his answer.
Yeah. And they were friends, by the way.
Yeah, I know. So And Tiger kind of, Tiger could have crucified him.
Of course he could.
Tiger actually helped him there. But you think that was uncommon?
No.
No.
Of course not.
No. Not with the older generation of golfers still playing and still visible. Tiger did a lot wrong. But you know what? He's enriched a lot more lives than he's ruined. And now he's finally taking care of the ones that really matter, his family. It's awesome. It's awesome. All right. Rex Hoggard's going to join us here, golfchannel.com writer, get some different perspective and try to put into words what, you know, what this is. You know, compare it to Jack in 86, great. You could pull up any sporting moment. You know, it's just subjective. My opinion, nothing touches it. And I don't think, hopefully I live a long time. I don't think I'll ever see anything like that. I did not want that to end. That was incredible. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, 206. I get it. Not everybody loves golf. I went and hit golf balls today. I mean, you know, that's a show. Tika and I love golf. I actually feel sorry for people who don't love golf.
Yeah,
because,
why?
Because you can't quite cash in fully. Not that you have to stripe a 5-iron 193 yards. I don't mean that. But you have to at least care about golf to get the full return. Again, the human interest story, there's people, my wife's one of them, you know. You could certainly get emotional, you can enjoy it, but I think if you love golf, this one's on a pedestal that I think is without peer, but we'll see. Rex Hoggard, let's see if Rex agrees. Rex is from the Golf Channel, writes there, golfchannel.com, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Rex, how are you today?
I agree entirely. There you have it. I'm on the record with these two guys. I mean, It was historic. I was there in 2008 when he won the Open on one leg. I was there in 2005 when he won his last Masters. I was there when he completed the Tiger Slam. This one, for a lot of different reasons, was more significant. It was probably the most difficult of the 15 majors he's won, and certainly I think it was the most meaningful.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that last statement. Some people would say, and again, you reference some amazing things. I'm going through my mind. I could actually see him limping around the fairway with Rocco Mediate coming back to play 18 for the U.S. Open on the Monday. For it to be this sensational, for this story to be so amazing, you know, you had a crash to a depth where you were no longer recognizable as a golfer. And in a lot of ways, recognizable as a person, Rex. Are you buying, because I am, but some aren't, but I want to hear from you. Are you buying that Tiger Woods is truly a changed person? You buy that?
I do, yeah. I mean, I've covered him his entire career. I started covering golf the year he turned pro, and I've seen the ups and the incredible victories, and I've seen the unbelievable lows that he's gone through. But the one thing that's truly different now, and it is with the media. I mean, I will say that he's much more engaging. You can sit and have a conversation with him now about anything. The Raiders, the Lakers, you know, any of his favorite teams, he's more than happy to talk to you now. But it's more about how he engages with everyone else around him. I mean, you saw it at Augusta National on Sunday as he's coming off the 18th green. He's high-fiving people. Tiger never really did that. And he's engaging with people in the crowd. And you talk about identifying with the story, golf fan or not. I don't think there's a better story than a reclamation project. I mean, the comeback story is what books are written about. And when you consider just 3 years ago, he sat in that clubhouse for the champions dinner and told one of the other former champions, I'm done. I'm finished playing golf.
Wow.
And to cover all that ground and to come back and do what he has accomplished, I mean, I don't know that he ever really impresses himself. I think this might.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting, Rex, because you talk about, 08 and Torrey Pines when he's limping around with a bad wheel. And a lot of people have told us and told me that challenge was what kind of propelled him to that victory. He needs a challenge. Do you think that some of his falling downs or the challenges that he needed to find it again, you know what I mean, to find a passion in order to be successful again?
I think there might be something to that. I agree with you. He's always played his best golf when he has a chip on his shoulder, and I think most great athletes are probably the same way. I can imagine Michael Jordan you can probably go down the list. If someone tells you you can't do something, then I'm going to prove you wrong. And certainly after he went through his fall and to come back, I think that would have been motivation enough. But injury now became part of the conversation. He couldn't move. He couldn't pick up his kids. I mean, at the President's Cup just 2 years ago, he couldn't drive around on a golf cart. So, I mean, physically, he just couldn't do it. And I think in a lot of ways, reaching that bottom physically, where he had to come to terms with his competitive mortality, that, look, I might be done, that my best years might be behind me, and I might become a ceremonial golfer, I think that gave him a different perspective more than anything else.
Yeah, and you know what else you notice, Rex, is that, you know, think of a pitcher. We have a good friend here, CC Sabathia, who, you know, used to throw gas, and now he's had to slow down. He had to learn how to be a pitcher, just to take an analogy from a sport that non-golfers would understand. He had to place, he had to, you know, hit the zone. You know what I mean? It was different than overpowering someone. Tiger, even though he's lost a little bit of his physical dominance that he had in the day, it's like he learned how to become a pitcher, right? He learned how to become a golfer, and it's actually set him up to win this Masters when you look at the mistakes that others made on 12 and how he dialed in at 16 and he conceded, you know, par opportunities. I just got to get bogey here and move on. I mean, that evolution of Tiger is kind of more impressive than anything.
He's talked about, you know, going back to the Michael Jordan reference, about, you know, Michael talked about late in his career learning how to hit the jump shot and the fadeaway, right?
I mean, yeah.
That's what gave him so much longevity. And Tiger has kind of equated it to golf, where, yes, I've learned how to hit the fadeaway. And by that, he means that he's not going to overpower the course anymore. He's not the longest guy out there. I mean, there are players now on the PGA Tour that just bomb it by him. And so, yes, I have to figure out another way of doing it. That being said, the performance that we saw over the last few days, that was quintessential Tiger.
Yeah.
You could have dialed him back, and I could show you a swing from Sunday yesterday, and I could have shown you a swing from 2005, and be like, yeah, that's the same guy. Like, yeah, I can see it. There's no difference in that athlete. And he was working the ball both ways brilliantly. He was making the putts he needed to make. He didn't make every putt, but he never did. He just made the clutch putts. And talking with Joey LaCava, his caddy, after the round, I think competitively the biggest difference, if you want to get down into the weeds, he talked about the last few years playing Augusta, he would get to 13, the par 5, the iconic hole we all know you have to wrap it around the corner, and he would defer to a 3-wood because he didn't trust his driver to try to turn it around the corner. He hit driver there every day this week. And there was a confidence that Joey said hadn't been there.
Oh, God, I can do this all day. I got to go home and watch highlights again. Rex Hoggard is with us, golfchannel.com writer, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So as you would imagine, you know, Rex, I'm sure if you haven't written about it yet, you will. I'm sure you've conversed about this with many people around the game. The inevitable comparisons to what Jack did back in 86. And, you know, it's obviously an opinion. You know, I think if you're 70 years old, then you're sitting here and you're watching Tiki and I in Florida and you retired and, I don't know, you watch us here on the Simulcast, you're probably saying, nah, back in 86, that was better. I get that. I respect it. It's your realm. It's your frame of reference. It's all good. But what I think is very important is that, you know, Jack had won in 1978, won a major, won two majors in 1980, and then went 6 years, almost 6 years, with a donut before winning at Augusta, and then never won again, excluding the senior tour, after he won at 86. If I were to say right now, Tiger Woods will never win again, forget about catching Jack, he'll never win again, the percentage that if his back stays healthy, if he stays okay, what's the percentage you would put on that besides zero? Because you know he's going to win again.
And he's healthy, and you're saying he's never going to win again?
Yeah, no, I'm saying he's definitely going to. I'm saying he's going to win next month at Bethpage. I'm saying, but I'm saying, do you think that there's any chance that this is a flash in the pan for some who believe that it might be, which I don't.
No. The body of work speaks for itself. I mean, that's really not an opinion. I mean, finishing off last season with a victory at the Tour Championship, I mean, that was the victory lap. I mean, that proved that, look, I can fight my way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he put himself into contention in the last two majors last year, the PGA and the Open Championship. So I think that was the body of work. And so now getting here and doing this, and I did not pick him last week. I didn't think his putting was good enough last week. However, when you put him on venues like Augusta National that requires so much institutional knowledge, yeah, you have to like his chances. And just not this year. I mean, I kind of extrapolated the math. Let's put Jack's 18 majors in perspective. Tiger's three short. He has 24 starts between now and the time he turns 50 in major championships. If you go back to that run from the early 2000s to 2005 when he was dominant, in a 24-event major run, he won nine majors. Now, no, he's not the same player, and the fields are different.
Yeah.
But if you put it in perspective, you're like, well, yeah, absolutely it's possible.
Yeah, 3 out of 24, I think he could probably do that. But do you think he can play competitive golf until he's like late 40s?
Freddie Couples does.
Yeah, true, true, but not...
Vijay Singh does.
Yeah. You think Tiger can win a major when he's late 40s?
I think Tiger can win a major in his 50s if his body cooperates. And that's a big if.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that's had 4 back surgeries and numerous, a litany of other injuries. So yeah, that is a huge if. But absolutely, if he can stay healthy and stay off the surgeon's table, then I think he can go into his 50s, because especially at a place like Augusta, you guys just pointed out, Freddie, year after year, somehow contends. Bernard Langer, late 50s, he finds a way to contend. There's institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
So, yes, he'll have a lot of at-bats at Augusta.
You know, Rex, one of the things, and maybe this ties into what Teague said before about whether he got bored or he just wanted to challenge himself or needed an extra motivation, however you want to frame it, one of the things I love about this quote-unquote new swing, this new Tiger, is that he just went back to feel. You know, I'm sure there's math and science and there's angles behind it. Of course there are when you're on the PGA Tour. But he just grabbed the club and he finally said, I'm just going to get to a slot that feels good and let physics take over. It seems like he's less...
mechanical.
Yeah, good word. Less mechanical and just going back to the roots of the game when he first started playing.
I mean, this is both ends of the spectrum, right? I mean, he worked with Sean Foley.
Yep.
And not to get in the weeds, but and Sean is my boy. I mean, I have a huge amount of respect for him, but that is as technical as you get.
Yeah.
I mean, he is very scientific, and he's going to put you on the TrackMan machine, and we're going to talk about the numbers. He worked with Chris Como, who is very, very similar to that. And he is to the point now where he's going to feel it. He's got his friend and who worked for his foundation, Rod McNamara, who is also a very good player, standing behind him, and he'll bounce things off of him with the club inside, with it outside. But it is all about feel, and I think that might speak to how much longevity he might end up having.
All right. You'll be out at Bethpage, I would imagine, right? Have you ever played Bethpage, by the way?
I did. It was a difficult experience. It's a chapter of my life I'm trying to put away.
Absolute beast. You can't take carts. Oh, my God. But we might see you out there. We might be doing a show out there. So if we do, we'll certainly come say hi.
I look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rex. Appreciate you, buddy. Rex Hager, golfchannel.com. You have not played.
I have not.
I've only played it once.
But we'll get out there, though.
Once is enough, man. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know if I need to play that course again. You have to walk. I mean, there's par fours that are like 468. Hey, come on.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
It's only 468 yards.
I mean, you know.
It's like 5 touchdown runs.
I mean, bogey feels like par is what's wrong with it. That's what's wrong with it. Get the update from Mac. We've got the blast coming up after that on a just a real fun, unique.
We'll call Kelly Brook. She's out there.
Who's Kelly?
She's the president or whatever. She runs Bethpage. We had her on the show. You remember this?
No.
Yeah. Or maybe you were out. We'll call up Kelly.
Okay. We'll go play. She's going to get us out there?
Yeah.
Well, we might be doing a show out there. Is that still?
I want to play.
Oh, now he wants to play. Yomas, now he wants to play. Now he wants to play golf. I'm going to get you out there this summer. I'm going to get you out there, brother. All right, let's get the update from Max. See what's cooking. Here's Rich Ackerman.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we'll finish up. Get some hoops here. Big night tonight, obviously. Big one out there in Philly. Nets and the Sixers. Clippers and the Warriors as well. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question today here, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, Tiki. Steve in Orlando, Florida, wants to know. He says, BT, Tiki, do the Magic have to go up 2-0 in order to beat the Raptors in the series? I mean, my first instinct would be to say no, because they won the first game.
Yeah.
I would certainly file the... Kyle Lowry's had a lot of spotty playoff games. He will not have zero again, and he's still only won by a few points.
Yeah,
but
Kyle Lowry is not as bad of a player as the narrative likes to set him out to be. Over the last couple of seasons, he's shooting like 40-something percent from three-point range. He will shoot better, and they will win the series. It just sucks that then the same thing seems to be happening every single year with the same different coaches, different roster, different teammates, everything.
Roster, yes,
I mean, it sucks for Kyle Lowry. He's actually a good player. He just kind of brings this upon himself.
Although a lot of his peers do think he's overrated based on that poll in The Athletic.
He may be overrated. He shoots 40% from three-point range in the postseason, which is effective field goal percentage, I think, like 65%. So he can score.
33%, though, from behind the arc in the playoffs.
Over the last 2 years, it's 40.
No, I'm saying for his career.
Yeah, for his career.
But he's 34 years old. I mean, he's 36.
32 years old.
Whatever. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. We'll get to the blast here to Sec Teague tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Join CBS Sports Network's Inside College Football crew as they dig deep into the upcoming draft, breaking down the blue chippers and speculating on the game's new superstars, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. And a couple of things for you. I've told you many times, Teak and I will be out in Nashville Thursday and Friday. We'll do our regular show from 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. We'll also do something locally for WFAN, pipe it back just to New York City. Obviously, the Jets and the Giants with prime spots in the draft. Giants could make a trade. Jets could make a trade as well. And also, Tops, the night before the draft, we'll do our annual draft show. Found out today it starts at 9. So 9 to noon on Wednesday, the night before the draft. Myself, Shine, of course, London Fletcher, our girl Amy Trask, all over it, the usual cast of characters. So we're getting there. Almost time, buddy.
It is.
Fun time of the year.
It's a week, a little over a week away.
Yeah, we get through Easter, which is going to be awesome. Passover, and then we move right into the week of the draft. Then it's on. All right, Teak, you ready for the blast here?
Yep, let's hit it.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, so with the Spurs win over the Nuggets on Saturday, Greg Popovich now the winningest coach in NBA history, combining regular season and playoff wins. How many more seasons do we think Pop is going to actually coach?
I think one more after this.
Wow.
Depending on how far they go.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
You know, by the look of that beard and that hair, he's getting a little straggly. He might be ready to go the Phil Jackson route, minus the weed. Just kind of do a little walk in the wilderness there and hang out. He's earned it. We know that. Lost his wife.
Yeah,
that's huge. You know, that's huge.
I think this season was really up in the air, like expectation-wise. And I think it's turned out better than people could have imagined.
Which is why I think it might be more than one. I think because they've overachieved, or he's done, quote-unquote, maybe one of the best jobs he's ever done in his career because he didn't have a whole lot. I think that could be galvanizing.
Could be.
I think it's going to be a little more than a year. We'll see. Yo. All right. Padres skipper Andy Green calls the umpires literally clueless yesterday. Do we harp on the officiating too much in every sport? That's become a source of everybody's consternation. It's easy to gripe about. We all think we could do it better from our couch. Listen, these games and these athletes are built in a way. Their physical attributes,
that's
the
exactly
size,
right,
their speed, but also, you know, the ability to decipher from a million camera angles that the previous generation did not. It's going to lend itself to a lot of criticism. The only thing that bothers me, and I've said this a lot, Teague, is the over-aggressive official who inserts themselves into the equation and begins to, like, flares up the issue rather than diffuse it.
Yeah.
Go away. Nobody wants to see you call the game.
We know your job is hard because of all the things that BT said. Athletes are bigger. They're faster. Things happen so much quicker than they used to. We know you're going to make mistakes. But when things start to get loud, it's the official's job, whether it's player on player or player at official, to calm it. Right, to not start yelling back and chirping back. And I think, I mean, maybe this is the Ed Hockley effect, right? It's like officials want a brand. They want
the yoked.
They just want a presence. It's not your job to be known and recognized. It's your job to make sure the game is called right. That's my only gripe, to your point.
There's only one NFL ref that we should talk about, and he's a former ref. That's Gene Steratore.
Exactly.
Who's commenting on this. We should not reference refs because – if we reference you, there's a chance you did your job incorrectly. Right. How about this? Both Bob Myers, who's the GM of the Warriors, former agent. He's been there for a couple of years, obviously. Pat Riley. We brought up Pat's name the other day on the show. Pat Riley shoots down the idea of taking the vacant Lakers president job. Is it a good job?
Yeah, of course it's a good job. I mean, it's the Lakers, for Christ's sakes. And Jeannie Buss seemingly is a good principal there. But this is an important hire for her. We know that when they hired Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, it's kind of the first time in their history, maybe in kind of all major sports history, you hire a president of operations and a GM who have zero idea what they're doing. So who she
or interest in really doing it?
Agreed. So who would they hire? Who she Jeannie Buss hires next?
Yeah,
it's of paramount importance.
And they have to get it right. They've been scuffling for a while. Yep. What, 6 years, no playoffs, and more importantly, just seemingly a little anarchy. It's just a disaster. So the question, though, is it a good job? Depends what you want. Do you want to get paid top dollar? Yeah, then it's a good job. Do you want to play in a premium, premium venue in a world class city? Sure, it's a good job. Do you want to deal with the decaying LeBron James who thinks he's the boss? Then it's not a good job.
Make sure you have a 6-year contract.
do you want to deal with, maybe LeVar flares up again? And if he doesn't, a brittle Lonzo directly?
Don't you feel like LeVar is irrelevant at this point?
He is. He's been made to look so foolish with all of his endeavors. He doesn't have a leg to stand on. Though I don't think he's a bad dad.
No, not at all.
I think his motives were coming from the right place. I think they were poorly plotted out.
Agreed.
I still like him. I don't love what he's done, but I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
That's not what I said. I just said he's irrelevant.
No, I know. I just want to make sure that I'm fair to him. I'm not trying to take a shot at a fellow father.
Dang! Wow! Russell Wilson?
Do I think it's a good job? I'm not done. Ignore that buzzer. Do I think it's a good
buzz
job?
Buzz him again.
He's probably going to. I don't think it's a good job right now. No, I don't. Now you can buzz it. The NHL's top regular season team, the Tampa Bay Lightning, find themselves down 3-0. They're on the brink of getting broomed here in the first round of the playoffs. Is there a randomness to hockey? There is. It's called the hot goaltender. It's called, they talk about the way a football bounces in odd directions. The hockey puck tends to bounce in very strange, unanticipated directions as well. Deflections, quirky goals. Yeah, there's a randomness to hockey, which is why there's been a lot of comebacks from 3-0. It's happened a lot more than the other sports. So randomness, I do believe there is.
Yeah, and I think the other side of this, you talk about a goalie standing on his head. On the other side, the Tampa Bay Lightning's goalie has been out of position. I mean, you just saw it on the highlights that we were just watching. He's just out of position almost every single time the puck is thrown into his end.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, you're going to lose. It is what it is. So it's one of those things that you hope changes and you don't get swept. You just win one game and hopefully you win a couple other ones. But I mean, goalie matters more than anything in hockey.
I tell you this, you win the President's Cup. I don't know that you get a great reward playing Columbus, who's pretty good. I mean, they had almost 50 wins this year.
Yeah.
Columbus is pretty good.
Yeah, of course.
Not a typical first round show up and smack them. But I think that's a good answer. There's definitely randomness. Hot goalie. It's been around the game for a long time. What do we need to see Clayton Kershaw do tonight to have confidence in him moving forward? Very simple. Throw a pitch and not reach for his back. Simple. I don't need to see he's not going to pitch 7. I don't need a no-hitter or 9 strikeouts. Just deliver the ball. Velocity, low 90s.
Yeah, and he's done that a little bit in some of these minor league
tune-ups.
Tune-ups that he's been in. Took a yard there if you were just watching.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. Get to 4 or 5 innings and be healthy. Walk away without your manager, Dave Roberts, coming out and saying, "Are you all right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't look all right."
That's all you need. Totally agree.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
So, D-Cell, Magic Johnson had a free weekend to tweet as he wanted to get back to having fun. I didn't even see. What did he tweet anything this weekend?
He's back on Twitter.
What's he got?
So here on Saturday, I've had a great Saturday watching the NBA playoff games!
Thanks, Magic.
The Nets shocked the Sixers, and the Magic did the same to the Raptors.
Thanks.
Golden State played like champs today.
Wow, my CBS Sports app told me the same thing. Without your
commentary. As boring a tweeter as he was an analyst. Geez.
And then yesterday, a big congratulations to Tiger Woods for winning the Masters. 3 points. The roar of the Tiger is back.
Magic. Feeling a little spry.
The roar of the Tiger is back. That's kind of cool.
Did he throw a little emoji out there? Did he have a tiger emoji?
No emojis for Magic.
He's not an emoji guy. I don't think Bird. I don't think Larry Bird. Yeah, I know he doesn't tweet.
Yeah.
I don't think Larry Bird sends his family members emojis either.
Yeah.
Don't see Larry Bird doing that.
I'm still watching this fire. Is the fire still? Is it out yet?
I don't think it's out yet. It's a problem.
Yeah. Prayers out to Paris again.
No doubt. I have
my finisher shirt on today. My Paris Marathon finisher shirt. Thinking about you guys.
I'll be watching the news tonight in our household for sure.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Real quick. Sixers bounce back. Philly by 8. I'm not so sure they cover. I think they squeeze out the win, and I think the Warriors blitz the Clips again. You with me on that?
Agreed.
All right. All right. Have a great Monday.
Sharp Tierney.
There you go. Take it to the bank.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.